I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. High up on President Trump's foreign policy agenda, fighting terrorism, and especially ISIS. Part of that battle is taking place right now in northern Iraq. Government forces have been battling ISIS fighters for months in and around the city of Mosul. All this week, we're bringing you the voices of young people caught up in that fighting. Today, The World's Richard Hall brings us a story of Riyad al-Jabouri, a teacher from a small town south of Mosul.
Hammam al-Alil is a town in recovery. I arrived just a few weeks after the Islamic State has been kicked out. They left a mass grave behind. It turned out some 300 people were executed by ISIS fighters before they fled. The buildings are battered with holes here. Aid trucks are handing out food on the streets, and soldiers sit lazily on every corner. So when I meet Riyad, a smartly dressed, debonair English teacher with a huge smile on his face, he really stands out.
To be honest with you, even I thought that I forget the English.
Okay.
But I talked to you and I became remembering.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's been 2.5 years.
For those 2.5 years, life has been a living hell for Riyad and his family. He invites me into his home, which is marked by bullet holes, and tells me his story.
You're 30 years old, right?
Yep, now I'm 30.
Yeah, same as me.
But your life is much better than mine. We are moving from disaster to another.
When the Islamic State took over this town, they promised they wouldn't harm anyone. But it wasn't long before the group, known to locals by the Arabic acronym Daesh, started rounding people up.
And I hear the door cracking, and I wake up, and I found the house was filled with Daesh members carrying weapons, M16, AK-47, surrounding me and shout at me, "Sit down, where is your father, who are you?"
As a colonel in the Iraqi army, Riyad's father was a marked man. Riyad knew that if his father was taken away, he would likely never see him again. So he tried to stay with him.
And I told him, "Just take me with him. Take me with my father." And I went with Daesh, actually.
He got as far as the end of the street.
They took me to the highway and throw me. They stopped the car and throw me and they say, "We will get him back."
But Riyad didn't get his father back.
I went to look for him or for his body. They said, "Don't look for him or you will follow him. We will kill you."
2 years went by. Then ISIS was back at the door, this time with his death certificate.
They gives us a small paper. "We killed him." They wrote on that paper a note, "We killed him. Don't look for his body." And until now, we didn't see his dead body.
This was not the life Riyad imagined when he set out to study English at a college in Mosul, just 30 miles north from here. After graduation, he began teaching at a local elementary school. He had always loved the English language, he tells me. The town's population was mostly Sunni, like him, but it also had some Kurdish residents. He lived with his wife, 2 young daughters, his mother and father, 6 brothers and 2 sisters in a family home in a cul-de-sac at the sleepy end of town. They were comfortably middle class. They lived a quiet life. The arrival of ISIS disturbed all that. Riyad's father was the head of the family, Riyad's role model. His picture still hangs in pride of place in the living room today.
Of course, I am so proud of my father because he was always on the right way with the government, and he was fighting and he sacrificed his life for saving others.
Riyad's father wasn't the only person to disappear under ISIS rule. In fact, it was in the house right next door to Riyad's that people were taken to be tortured, often never to be seen again. He takes me over there.
Actually, we heard the screaming of the men. You know, it was worse than the rockets' sound. It's something unbelievable when you hear the men screaming. It's so hard to believe.
There is a cyclical feeling to Riyad's story in his little town. It involves periods of upheaval brought about by outside forces. When he was a young boy and Iraq was under the rule of Saddam Hussein, there wasn't much contact with the outside world.
Even there was no internet, no mobile phones, you know, just we can keep in touch with the close persons.
It was around this time that the first great change of Riyad's life came, the US invasion of Iraq to remove Saddam Hussein. US troops took over a big empty space down the road from his house, where he used to play soccer, and replaced it with a police station. It was a time of great instability for the country. But for Riyad, the arrival of US troops also breathed new life into his town.
We were so happy. They came from another place. They support us and help us. There was a lot of projects. They brought something new to us, like the internet, the computers. So everything was possible.
Riyad says it was the arrival of the Americans that gave him the idea to learn English. Only a few people in the town could speak to them. He wanted to help his fellow townsmen communicate with their new neighbors. The same cannot be said for the time that ISIS ruled and terrorized his town, when Riyad mostly stayed at home, afraid to go out.
They said, if you leave the house without our permission, we will kill you and throw your body to the dogs to eat.
Riyad kept teaching at the school, but all the lessons changed. ISIS forced the children to learn about their extremist interpretation of Islam, and nothing else. Riyad had no choice but to play along, knowing that any sign of opposition would have landed him in the prison across from his house. So, Riyad made the most of his solitude. He built an oasis in his garden. There are pigeons, chickens, and a beehive. In another yard, there are two large bird cages with parakeets and doves inside.
What made you go out and get the birds?
You know, because we have nothing to do, so we have to care about the birds. We became a birdsman.
He and his family created their own world, he tells me.
In the past, I was in love with the stories. But when Daesh come, we couldn't read. We don't have the mood. So we just make fun looking at the animals.
It struck me as I was leaving how undamaged Riyad seemed by his ordeal. He doesn't appear to carry the baggage of the last 2 years with him. I ask him before I go if he's hopeful for the future. He tells me, of course. We are always hopeful. If we were not, we wouldn't have got the birds. For the world, Richard Hall, Hammam al-Alil, Northern Iraq.
You can see pictures of Riyad with his birds at PRI.org. As I said, all week we're hearing from young people who survived ISIS rule in Northern Iraq. Tomorrow, the story of a teenager forced to hide a beloved symbol of his faith.
I hid it somewhere no one can find. The cross is not just a material thing. It's in the heart.
Young and Christian under ISIS rule. That's tomorrow here on The World.